Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I'm Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try, and if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
What if your time on the planet was ending today? If you had one thing to tell others, tell me, what would you say? Would you laugh, would you cry when you watched the review of your life? Did you lay it all out on the table or hold it in? Did you dot every T? Did you cross every I? Did you live every day of your life? Would you think you were ever? Would you think you were right? When you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time, would you want to do more? with a little more style. Would another 5 minutes to tell her you love her be more than enough? More than enough. Hey. What if you knew that goodbye was a heartbeat away? Would you still never speak to a lover for making mistakes? Would you hate anybody who didn't agree? Or would you love everyone that you see? Would you think you were well? Would you think you were right when you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time? Would you want, yeah, with a little more stuff? Or would another 5 minutes of holding him closer be more than enough? More than enough.
La, 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 la.
Hey. Very little happens then till you look behind and find in each and every line love was on time. Hey, hey, hey. So many people sleepwalk through the day after day. Woke up mid-stride thinking, how did this happen to me? I opened my heart and wiped the sleep from my eyes. Started laughing so hard that I cried, 'cause I found out what was it, and I found out a rhyme. When I thought about the way that I felt when love touched my heart for the first time, I didn't need a do-over with a little more stuff. 'Cause I found that each time I could tell them I loved them was more than enough.
Think about that. More than enough. The mind says, what is that? What do you mean? Their heart goes, yes, I am more than enough. If you had to do your life all over, what would you do? If you had a chance to look back, would you change anything? Would you eliminate something? Would you erase some people out of your life? Or would you invite more people into your life? Would you have given more of yourself? Would you support yourself as you went through life and all the uncertainties? You know, times when you didn't know what you were doing, times when you felt confused, times when you were afraid. Would you want an opportunity to love yourself during those times? Yes. Today we're dancing with uncertainties. And we're reminding ourselves that we are professional dancers of life. because we know that we are more than enough. And sometimes we're so good, we're so powerful, that we could choose to act like we're not because we want to just make the drama a little bit excited. I'm going to act like I'm not enough and compare myself to others, and then I'm going to bring myself back through the power of forgiveness, through a conversation with a loved one, through being in gratitude, being grateful for my life, and yes, I am more than enough. This thing called life is the best story ever, and it keeps getting upgraded, updated, rewritten. Actually, it's not rewritten. No rewriting is happening. The writing continues. The common thread is you are enough. The common thread is sometimes life is not going to make sense. So don't try and figure it out. Troy Horn. More than a love. See, that's what you get from reading the chat room and talking. Okay, I'm out of the chat room. More than enough. Even with my voice, I'm more than enough. I am so full of myself because I am more than enough. That's right. I am full of myself. I'm full of great gratitude. I'm full of power. I'm full of greatness. I'm full of joy. I'm full of peace. I'm full of beauty. I am full of myself. I'm overflowing. Ooh, I'm feeling myself. That's right. Today's the day to flip all those terms we use that had a negative connotation. You're just feeling yourself, aren't you? Of course. You don't want me to feel you. You might get uncomfortable. I need to feel myself because sometimes I neglect myself. I need to touch myself and see, okay, it's okay. My hands, I got a little, my shoulders a little bit tight. Let me massage my own self. Let me not worry about not going to get a massage. Okay, I can do it myself. I can focus. Yes. Woo. What happens? What happens when you know you're more than enough? You take care of yourself. And I welcome you to the house of love, the house of the unknown, uncertainties. Thank you for being brave enough to step into this space and this place, and we'll see what happens. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first, and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Not only, you know, the whole idea of changing beginning here, this is where it happens. Everywhere else, it's just, it's in the flow of the change. Stop it. Anyway, this is where change is inspired as well. And we've set the intention on many levels to inspire change, to support you on your transformation journey. Because we're all in it together. We need each other. And it's time to surrender. It's time to think differently. It's time to be differently. It's time to do things that we were once afraid to do because we're not sure how it's going to turn out. It's time to grow. It's time to love. It's time to create a community. And not just an intellectual community, but one that we embody, that we walk as a representation for the community. People see you walking down, see you at work, see you behind your desk, see you at home saying, wow, why are you so grounded? Why are you so together? And you can look at them and say, you know, I just remember who I am, and I got loving community. I got people who remind me when I'm feeling shaky. I got people who hold me up. I got people who's got my back. That's called applied spirituality. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, or in the voice of our guest today. He's not a guest. He's You may not like this word, but it's a sacred word. It's a word that I hold so holy, so divine. He's an elder. He does have wisdom. He's full of wisdom. I love his energy. I love his tone. You're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. But I like the way he says what you're listening to. Because maybe one day when I grow up, I'll sound like him. Check this out.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Let me go deep. Many blessings to you too, Jack. he does his voice very well. You can leave it alone. Practice Celestia's voice. You're working on that. Don't do two classes at once. You can multitask, but know your strengths. Okay, I am your host, and I am is expressing as Life Coach Ade. Yes, if you're listening for the first time or you just finally listened to that, I am is the host of this show. I am is who is listening through and as you. You're just, you know, you're a vehicle through the I am presence gets to express itself. And I'm clear about that because trust me, after the show, I'm like, ooh, I am. You just outdid yourself. I wish I'd be like you. But anyway, Celeste, how are you doing? Let's see. Maybe we've got a recorder, Celeste. Celeste, are you recorded or are you live?
No.
I'm live. The recorder is talking back. Oh, it's real. Hello, Celeste.
Is it live or is it Memorex? I am Ooh. Live. I'm very happy to be with you, Life Coach, today.
Thank you. I have to commend you for jumping into this place because I don't know what's going to happen. Jack and I are just going to, really, we're going to forget about y'all. We're just going to, this is a Life Conversations Cafe. We're going to pour some cups, some tea, some water. I'm going to do the same. And we're just going to talk and see what happens. We want to dance with uncertainties and see where we end up.
Well, then, you know what? You picked a great day to do it. You know, we're ending cycles. And because it's new, it's endings and new beginnings. So it's a great time to relax and explore.
I really enjoy that later, right?
Yeah, you know, a little bit more later. But I really enjoy Jack's energy. You know, I know that Jack's one of those people who are grounded and appreciates his experiences and his wisdom, though he is also young at heart.
Oh, yeah. But clearly.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's who he is. And you can hear it in his voice, and you're going to hear, if you haven't heard it before, just something about his essence.
Yes.
I talked to him yesterday, and we could talk an hour, 2 hours without even knowing it because we just go places.
Oh, that's beautiful. Hey, it was wonderful. And I just want to tell you real quick that M. Phone Lady said that this is my kind of show today. I'm just feeling it. So, all right, I'm going to get to your announcements so that we can go further into this, this man cave. It's Cave of Men showing us how to dance with uncertainty.
Well, it is a man. What is going on? Don't post stuff on my wall while I'm doing a show. Stop it.
Really?
My show has to be at the top. This is speaking of a man cave. Don't post nothing on my wall while I'm doing a show. My show has to be at the top.
You know what? I can say. I'm not going to do it, Life Coach, today. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to continue right now. So you got to be on top.
But I want to talk about the man cave that you talked about. It is truly, we're going into the man cave where we understand the importance of taking the feminine energy with us. So we feel whole while we're in there. So we come out giving birth to new ideas. We need both. So
I love it. All right. Whew, all right. Well, let me get to your announcements. Hello, my beautiful family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan. I'll be keeping you informed of all of the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find a metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and our very special guest, Jack Armstrong, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure that you press 1 on your keypad. And if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. You also have access to Life Coach a Day any time of the day. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. If there's a topic you would like Life Coach a Day to explore on an upcoming show, you can email him that too. Let's get his perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of May is multiplying the consciousness of truth, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Day is flying solo to explore race and spirituality. He'll also be answering listener questions on the air for a special segment of Ask Life Coach a Day. On this coming Thursday, be sure to join me and Life Coach a Day with Mark Husson for part two of our conversation at 12radio.com on 12 Many Voices at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safera for the Poetry Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, be sure to tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach a Day on the last Wednesday of the month. Then you can join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Feel free to go to lifeconversationsmedia.com for more info and a listing of all the shows. You'll also find a calendar. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach a Day drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach a Day.
Woo! Thank you, Celeste. You do that like a professional that you are.
Wow, thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah, tomorrow's show, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, Spirit, what you have me do? I don't know if we're just going to limit it to spirituality and race. I think really the idea is to look at the ills of the world, if you will, and how I people don't have to feel the same way, but feel that that's the answer to all the challenges that we have. I mean, we always have the answer because sometimes, well, in the past, religion has kind of kept us separated.
Right.
But spirituality, for me, I see it as a path that pulls everybody together. And really, the show is more about letting go of spiritual bypass. You know, we want to just pretend things are not happening. Oh, no, we all won. Can we just, why do we have to focus on color? You do when you buy a house and buy a car. Why not about humans? Well, you know, why do we have to do this? Woman or this, a man or that? You know, we box ourselves even when we say we're coming out of the box. So tomorrow's show is sort of about, I mean, I don't know what the topic is going to be.
Well, and, I like letting go of the spiritual bypass.
Yes, or bypass the spiritual bypass. How about that? Because bypass is getting us suffocated. We're trying to pretend life ain't happening. So anyway,
Sounds wonderful.
Tomorrow show. Let's not do tomorrow show today.
I'll see you around 1.
And yes, we'll see Celeste around 1 for more insights about the spiritual weather. Thank you, Celeste. We appreciate you. Now, let's welcome back Life Coach a Day.
So over you. Please bring Jack back into the house. Please bring Jack in there.
Oh, I know. Rescue me. Come on and rescue me. I need you. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, dancing with uncertainties. I don't know what's going to come out my mouth or yours. So we embrace it. We are ready to bring on my friend, Jack Armstrong, the author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. many blessings to you. Let me read a little bit about him, just a tiny bit. You can find out more about him when he comes on. And if you want to join in the conversation, maybe you want to eavesdrop or you want to add something to it, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad, and you can post your questions, comments, thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disagreements on the like page, the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show like page or the Life Conversations Radio like page. Post your questions there, your thoughts, whatever. You know, this is the house of love. We have set the intention to support you on your transformation. Gonna be starting something. So let's try and start something. All right, let me read a little bit about Jack so we can get this conversation going on. Jack Armstrong is an explorer on the spiritual path whose life's journey has included stops as a nonprofit executive, Peace Corps volunteer, congressional candidate, small business owner, and a voiceover artist. As you can tell, he lives in Portland, Oregon, and strives daily to practice the lessons he shares in his book, Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. Now, Jack says, I do not consider myself to be the author, quote unquote, of the writings. He shares in lessons from, the lessons he shares in his book. I think I call him God's secretary or God's receptionist. He listens to God and he writes, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I got you. Yes, God got us. To find out more about Jack Armstrong, his website address is Lessons from the Source. And when you tune in, tap in, download a copy, get the audio, you will be resourced by the source with all the beautiful gems in here. I'm going to share some of it with you today. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, especially, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my friend, my brother, our elder. I know, Jack, I know. Your elder is a term of endearment. It means so much to me. And so, let's bring Jack on. Hello, Jack. How is it going? Hello, Jack.
Hello, my friend. How are you today?
I'm good. Don't run away now.
No, after that round of applause, who's going to leave, right?
It is nice to have you. It's nice to... I'm just grateful for what is getting ready to be expressed, revealed, birthed. And as you know, today's topic is dancing with uncertainties. So we don't have to be in control. We can just let it all hang out, right? Well, not all of it, but as much as we're willing to let it hang out. Because sometimes we don't want everything hanging out on radio.
Well, one of the nice things about radio is people don't really know what all's hanging out, so there you go.
That's right. It's called a theater of the mind for a particular reason. You get to create the scenarios in your head.
Just as we do in life.
Yes, yeah, I know. See, exactly. So we're like a radio set on legs. We just create scenarios in our head, and we're convinced the whole world is like that.
There you go. There you go. Ah.
Oof, I felt some chills about that. So, okay, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. We're ready to go into the unknown. But I got to ask you this. You know, I read a little bit about you. But for those who don't know you and those who know you, can you tell us the answer to this question? Who are you? Who is Jack Armstrong?
I, like everyone else on the planet, am a unique, individualized expression of Source. And each of us comes into this lifetime in the physical world as an eternal spiritual being, having a temporary but simultaneous experience in the physical world. And we bring with us certain gifts that we share with the world. And for reasons that my conscious mind doesn't understand. For some reason, I came into the world with this ability to sort of tune into a specific expression of wisdom and write it down and share it with people, and that's sort of my gift, I think, to the world at this point, or one of them, anyhow.
Yes, 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 indeed. Well, let's talk about this gift. And actually, a question that has come to my mind for the first time is, before you tell us about what it is, because that will lead us into a little bit about the book, does anybody else in your family, your mom, your dad, grandparents, great-grandparents, had that sort of ability that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. And interestingly, I mean, I grew up in a mainstream Protestant denomination. And as you and I have talked before, this phenomenon has been happening for more than half my lifetime. And I am, in fact, an elder in the literal sense of the word. But for almost 35 years, this has been happening. And for most of that time, I didn't tell anybody about it because I didn't know what was happening. And I, for most of my life, felt like, oh, I've got to make a good impression on people and they need to think well of me. And my family, ultimately, when I started to sort of come out of the closet, as it were, with the fact that I was doing this stuff, my family was the hardest people to finally break that to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think the answer is no to your question. I honestly, no. They know. There's the short answer.
Well, but here's the thing, Jack. And I know those who don't know who are wondering what it is, but we'll talk about it in a minute. But you know, there's a school of thought sometimes. There's a school of thought, and I kind of agree with that because I see that in my life where sometimes there's been an ability, a gift that's been denied in one's lineage, and then comes somebody else who brings light to it. Now, there's usually some kind of friction resistance when the person who's willing, you know, because I believe we come here to deliver a particular gift. And part of your gift is that be able to listen to the inner dictation, really. And I think I'm just kind of thinking that, maybe it's been there and it was denied because those who came before you didn't want to be seen as crazy or locked up, so they kept it. But you came on, and you still carried that energy for a while, and after a while you said, enough already, I got to let this out. And now not only does your family know about it, the whole world knows about it. You know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, I think that's certainly possible. You know, I think all of us have gifts. Parents can either encourage and nurture those gifts or repress them, and we do the same thing with ourselves. You know, there are people who will say, gosh, I wish I could learn to play the piano, and me included. And, you know, and an answer could be, well, go learn to play it. You know, it's, but we sort of have this thing where we decide how we're going to express ourselves in the world, and that's possible that people before me in my family might have had that gift and denied it. We don't know, and it really you know, doesn't matter.
Yeah, because what matters is you are not denying it; you are expressing it. Now, let's talk about this gift that we're talking about, even like I said earlier. But could you tell us about this ability, this gift that you brought, that you're saying yes to now, or been saying yes to for about 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, for a long time, I didn't know what it was. And it started, again, about 35 years ago, where actually the first place it happened was in Los Angeles at a place called the Lake Shrine, which is the Self-Realization Fellowship and Paramahansa Yogananda. And I used to go there just to meditate and be still. And one day I took a pad of paper and a pen with me, not knowing why. And all of a sudden I started writing this stuff that was directed to me. And I wasn't really sure what was happening, but it clearly wasn't coming from my conscious mind, but it, you know, it just started coming. And I've said this in, you know, on many occasions, and some people listening may have heard it before, but I love words, and I love writing, and I love communication. And when I write my own stuff, you know, I struggle with it, and I go through draft after draft after draft to try to get to some place where I really think, boy, this is about as close to perfection as I can get. This stuff, when it comes through, is in finished form. You know, it almost needs no editing. And it's this remarkable expression of wisdom, in spiritual wisdom and lessons about life and about spirituality in this very gentle, nurturing, reassuring, non-judgmental voice. And I did this for years, and ironically, not knowing what it was, and I wasn't going to tell anybody it was happening, I would write it out, or I'd call it transcribing, sort of receiving and transcribing this material, and I'd read it and I'd go, wow, where did that come from? And I'd put it in my nightstand by my bed and forget it and ignore it. And there is, as you and I were talking yesterday, there's 35 years worth of material, 3 months of which is in the book. And when I finally, I knew all along. I mean, it was clear this material wasn't just for me. I was supposed to share it. And my response, of course, was, nope, not me. You know, I'm not gonna tell anybody I'm doing this. And finally, I reached a point in life where, you know, you do become an elder, and you don't really care as much what other people think. And I finally said, okay, I'll do something. And the book evolved. And when I was doing an early draft of this, there was an editor, a spiritual writer who was working with me, a wonderful man. And I sent him a draft, and I said in that draft something to the effect of, I'm involved in a unique form of communication, blah, blah, blah. And he wrote back, and he said, it's not unique at all. He said, people have been doing this for centuries. Just look up this book. And the book was, With the Tongues of Men and Angels, A Study of Channeling. Well, I didn't know about channeling. I always thought channeling was sort of like trance speaking, where someone would stand up and another entity's voice would come through them. But I didn't know anything about it. And this is a scholarly study of all different forms of channeling. And lo and behold, I'm reading, and here comes inner dictation. And I read that, and I thought, that is exactly what has been happening to me. It described it perfectly. And there's in the appendix in the book, that the description of inner dictation from that book is in there. And one of the examples used in this scholarly work was A Course in Miracles as an example of inner dictation. And I went on the Course in Miracles website and found a page where there's an audio recording of Helen Schuckman, who received that incredible work, describing the process. And I could use exactly the same words, you know. And there's a link to that page on my website. But it was so validating, you know, to say, wow, I mean, here's exactly what happened to me, and now I get it. I don't know why me, but but it just knowing what was happening, and now accepting that that's a gift I have, and I've got this material to share with the world. That's again, that's a long answer to your short question today, but
Well, you remember while you were waiting, holding, I said, you and I are sitting in the Life Conversations Radio Cafe, and we're just talking. So everybody else just happened to be eavesdropping on our conversation because, as you know, the theme, the topic is dancing with uncertainty. So we're not, we're just going to go. I mean, I have questions I want to ask you, but we'll just go wherever we want to go because I think, you know, you and I talked yesterday, and part of what I feel is, we are in between the old and the new, all of us. And it feels sometimes, for some of us, feels uncomfortable because we're not quite, it's not the old. We sense something new, but we're not quite clear about it. And part of the birthing process, I feel, is people really getting in touch with their gifts, or maybe it's time for people to speak up. There's so many people who have a gift that take it for granted. How many people get in a dictation like you and don't want to talk about it? But thankfully, you and I having this conversation, and other people having the conversation, to create a space for others to dance with uncertainties. Like, you know, when you talk about your parents, your family, were the hardest to share it with. You know, those are the challenge. Those are real challenges that we go through on this planet. You know, we have something we care about, or somebody we're in love with, or something good. Particularly if it's unusual, I guess, and we find it's sometimes a struggle to share with people we love and care about. But there's so much going on in the world today, and I'm grateful for you saying yes to being God's receptionist.
I love that term. I hadn't heard that one before, but that's just kind of nice.
He said, I'm taking notes. you've learned the ability to listen, to hear, and hearing is a expression of that feminine essence, because I believe the feminine essence listens. And your book is definitely making a difference. You went to bed with me last night. Did you know that?
Did you feel like I missed you were going that. To bed with I must have night? Fallen asleep before you did.
Oh, okay, all right, because you did. I was listening to the audio book, and I was listening to it, and it just filled me up and just took me in different places, and I listened to it again this morning. But, you know, you said a lot of different things. And, you know, let's talk about how you brought yourself to sharing your gift, that known as inner dictation, to share it with the family. How did you get to a point where you shared it with them? And I don't know if you didn't care about their response, or you were still kind of like, oh, my God, what are they going to say? I don't know. Tell us about that experience.
I will. There are two things that occurred to me while you were talking. One was that I didn't make clear, and you mentioned the voice. There's, and just to clarify this process of inner dictation, there's no auditory hearing. It's been described as like taking dictation from thoughts. So the thoughts flow really smoothly and quickly, but there's no, I don't hear it, I just think it. The other thing I wanted to say was that you were saying, you know, you wonder how many other people out there might have been experiencing inner dictation but not told anybody. One of the great gifts from deciding to publish the book was the number of people who contacted me initially. I mean, the book's been out for, you know, more than 4 years, so it doesn't happen a lot anymore, but who said thank you, you know, for deciding to sort of go public with this, and would say, you know, I've been having the same experience, and I'd put the stuff under my bed, you know, and hide it. And the whole topic of creativity, of how, you know, I love to think about creativity, and this is one form of it, and there are infinite varieties, but creativity seems to me to be something, you know, a phenomenon where a human being allows something that has never before existed in physical form to come through him or her and put it into physical form. And it could be this kind of writing, it could be a symphony, it could be, you know, a mural on a wall, it could be, you know, designing a bridge or a birdhouse or whatever, but it's allowing. So I just wanted to clarify those two things.
Sure.
I really didn't. I went back to. I grew up in Ohio, and I went back actually for a reunion, and was the book was in the works, you know, and it hadn't been published yet, but I figured, well, I don't want them to see it on a bookshelf someplace, and I took back. Three ring binders, and this was my two remaining siblings, and my brother he's a retired Protestant minister, and I thought, well, I just need to tell them, and I gave them each a three ring binder of the book as it was at that point, and explained what was happening. And they just listened, and it was interesting. I remember when they started reading this stuff, and my brother, who is just a wonderful, wonderful man and researcher, and he loves words as much as I do, and we have conversations about different the language and the use of language and so on. And I remember at one point he was reading, he said, now you talk in here about the kingdom of God. And he said, that's sort of in current usage, that's sort of considered and I'm paraphrasing, but the implication was it was sort of a sexist term where you say kingdom. And it was more like, he said, you might want to use the realm of God. And I just said, well, you might want to talk to the author about that.
I know, that's right. Hey, I'll just take notes.
but they've been very supportive after that. Very supportive. And I was nervous. You know, ultimately, you know, it's the family when we're growing up that gives us the messages of what's right and what's wrong and how to live and what to do and all that stuff. And even though you become a lot older, there still was something there that, you know, wow, what are they going to think? And it turned out great. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. And it always does, really. I mean, and it gives us an opportunity to develop, to trust, to accept. The fact that, you know, parents or family members may say, no, I don't know what you're talking about, or just the process that we go through in order to express ourselves. Really, everybody has the opportunity to come out. So your coming out process is more important. Your process was more important than if they accepted it or not, because it makes you who you are today, having the courage to share part of you that you're not quite sure how they're going to receive it, you know, and trust in the process. Well, if you're just joining us, my guest is my friend Jack Armstrong. He's the author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. Jack and I were talking yesterday. We had a lot of conversation about different things. And Jack, after we finished and talking, I went to my computer and I went to the audiobook, the MP3 file. And this is, I'm going to mute you and I'm going to play what I heard. I mean, I'll tell you, well, of course you know it, but it's unity with God and all creation. I said, oh my God, this is just what we were talking about. And so I'm going to play that now so people can have a taste of your book. And we'll be right back. The number is 347-426-3346. Here it comes.
Chapter 1, The Basic Truth. Unity with God and all creation. This is your true and natural purpose and function in the physical world, to remember and relearn your unity with me, and then to express that unity through your own joy, peace, love, and goodness. It is simple and natural and direct. You are one with the entire universe, its substance, its intelligence, its activity. This means that at your essence, is the very essence of the universe. This is who and what you are, and this is true for every human being. You are an expression of my divinity where all is in order. Energy is an interesting topic. You relate to energy primarily in a physical sense, how high your energy level is, whether you have enough energy to complete a task, and so on. You might also think of energy as something that makes your appliances run or heats your home. True energy, however, is a field around you and through you. It is my reality in the physical world. It is substance. It is my presence. It is the source of your life. It is my spirit in action in the world. It is in you and around you. It is everywhere present. It is what gives life to the world. In it, you live and move and have your being. You might ask why this is important and why you need to know about it. Perhaps you have heard about practicing the presence of God. If you can begin to understand the concept of God energy as a field of energy that is everywhere present, practicing my presence will become easier for you. Everywhere present. This may be a bit difficult to comprehend. Can you think of anything in the physical world that is always present without fail? Air is not, for there are vacuums. Lightness or darkness is not. Even gravity is not, for it is possible to experience weightlessness in certain controlled situations. But my energy, my reality, my being, is present everywhere in the universe. It is in everything you can see, and in everything you cannot see. It is in every cell of your body, in the air you breathe, in the thoughts of your mind. This is a big concept, yet it also is of the utmost simplicity. Once you can get beyond the barrier of using the physical world and its natural phenomena as your frame of reference, the concept of omnipresence will become something that you will be able to accept as part of your reality, even if you cannot understand it on an intellectual level. As you meditate upon this concept, you will begin to come to a spiritual understanding of the unity of all things. If God energy or substance is present in all things, then all things share a unity of being. If at your most basic element you share the same reality as all other humans, then there is a basis for communication and love and understanding between you and any other person. If that common element extends beyond human beings to every aspect of my creation, there is a unity that you cannot now even begin to comprehend. Yet, if you can accept that it is there, you have taken the very first step toward an expansion of your consciousness that will alter your life on the planet in ways that you cannot yet imagine, and will allow you to make a quantum leap in your never-ending spiritual growth. This is enough for you to ponder for now. Read this lesson over again several times, and take time during the day to contemplate it and meditate on it. An appropriate affirmation for you might be, "I am one with every aspect of God's creation." As you begin to ruminate on these ideas, you will begin to truly practice the presence of God.
Yes, indeed. I am one with every aspect of God's creation. Jack, when I heard that after our conversation yesterday, I was like, wow, it's like God was listening to our conversation.
I think that's a fair bet.
You want to share anything about that when that came through, or any experience, or maybe something else came up for you as you listened to it?
Oh, wow. Actually, while I was listening, I was I hadn't really taken note until this morning of what the topic of the day was. And of your program, and Dancing with Uncertainties. And I was actually, you and I talked yesterday. I've got a huge volume of unpublished material that I've received over 35 years. And there was a piece that I read to you yesterday that sort of touched on that. And but then I was sitting here and I just did in a Word document a search, a find thing for uncertainty. And there were several different ones that little segments that just came out, and I'm going to read you a couple of these, because they deal specifically with uncertainty, and I can read that piece from yesterday too if you'd like.
I want you to read that later, but the ones you got now, read it, because it's very powerful. It speaks to how we can all support ourselves between the middle of old and new. Yeah.
And I just did it. I just did a search for the word uncertainty, and and again, these are all things that I've never shared before with anybody. But the first one says, "You do not need to know the answers. You do not need to know. Rest in the very peace of your being. Surrender to it. Feel it. Live it. You do not need to understand. Simply accept, give thanks, and move forward. There is divine certainty in the uncertainty." I just love that. There is divine certainty in the uncertainty. Listen, trust, act, move forward in love. The emptiness is okay. You do not need to fill it. You do not need to know. Then here's another one that came up, and these are all out of context, but it says, "Can you feel the freedom of releasing the need to know specific answers or to focus your conscious efforts on finding them or to make things happen? Approach your life with the certainty that all is unfolding perfectly and effortlessly, and trust it implicitly. Let go of all the thoughts and efforts and challenges that have occupied your conscious mind. Experience and enjoy the intellectual uncertainty and allow it to be superseded by the spiritual certainty that all is unfolding perfectly." And here's another one. "Embrace the new. Embrace the unknown. Rejoice in the uncertainty. Ask for guidance and know that you have it. Know that the way is being made clear. That is all you need to know. You do not need to know exactly where the path will lead or what terrain it will carry you through or who or what you will encounter along the way. Simply set foot on it, knowing that you are not alone, that your steps are being guided perfectly and effortlessly, and that joy and peace are yours at every moment, if only you will accept them." Mm. And then there was one more that I pulled out, and this was just during that little period. It says, "How many times have we talked about accepting the perfection of the unknown, of rejoicing in the uncertainty? If you can understand and accept the concept of perfection in all things and situations and circumstances, this acceptance and rejoicing will be natural and easily achieved. It is when your conscious mind decides that it must have an impact on the unknown, forcing and shaping it in ways that the mind feels would be beneficial to the human being's circumstances, rather than accepting the perfection of all things, including the unknown, that you begin to contemplate challenges and difficulties that could cause problems, and then allow the uncertainty to become a menacing threat."
I listened to you, and what came up for me is the importance of having uncertainties and certainties in one life, having both of them. You know, even though we live on this planet, we sort of, you know, we talk, we need an insurance for this, an insurance for that, and we need to secure this, secure that, and make sure we feel safe. But to grow, to expand, it is important to have the uncertainty. I love the statement, there is divine certainty in the uncertainty. So really, even though it may look like it's not certain to us, to our physical eyes, there is a certainty that transcends the five senses. That's what I get. And that's the spiritual walk, you know, trusting the process, trusting the dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the stuff that has been coming through in the last few years is about perfection, and it talks a lot about perfection, and the sort of underlying theme is your conscious mind. I mean, if there's perfection in everything, and perfection in the uncertainty. But the underlying theme is your conscious mind is never going to be able to understand that. It can't figure it out. It, you know, it's beyond the human mind's ability to deal with. But if you can just accept that that's the case, and live your life based on the assumption that it is true, then you're basically in the kingdom, because you there's nothing to worry about. I mean,
right.
If there's perfection in everything, even though, where's the perfection in killing 20 little kids? I don't have a clue, and nobody can figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but again. It's the challenge for us on our spiritual path. If you can somehow just accept that there's perfection there,
mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to do that, then you're where you're supposed to be. I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm being really clear about that.
Well, actually, I get it. You know, you're on a vibe like that. I get it. I mean, because, if we say God is good, God is everywhere, evenly present, there's no spot where God is not. And, you know, if God is good, people say, why are evil things happening? But there's some things we won't be able to explain with our intellectual mind. We just don't have – it's almost like it's like somebody calling you from Spain saying, I'm lost. Where are you? I'm in Spain. And you've never been to Spain before. You can't tell them which way to go. You can go on Google and do Google Map, but still, it's going to be, you must say, well, I don't know. I see here. I mean, it's like there's some things we got to be out of our mind to have a glimpse of what is really true. And I don't know if it was you. No, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and it's like, you know, the minute we try to define God, define love, I mean, define peace, joy, we limit the whole experience.
Exactly.
Because those things are beyond definition. There's
exactly.
Something that you feel. There's something that just like, I could just feel, you know, how do you know when you're feeling joyful or happy? Well, who knows? We say we know. I'm not joyful, I'm happy. It's because how we have categorized the feelings, the emotions. But, you know, maybe it's just one feeling. Who knows? But we need words so that we can at least come to some kind of understanding of what's going on with ourselves. But I think, you know, that we do a disservice when we debate what we don't know, deny what we don't know, but leaving room for understanding, leaving room for something new, and being aware that we don't know that we don't know. There are things we don't know we don't know. And until you know you don't know, that's one step ahead. And then we start to create a space for listening and saying, what is this thing? You know, if I'm connected with everybody, you know, the same elements connects me to everybody else. Really? Not just an intellectual thing, but an embodied way of living. And that's what I get. So the whole thing about dancing with uncertainty, there's so much is going on right now, and I think some of us are feeling the pain, some of us for some, because we're trying to hold on to what is certain or what's comfortable, but the experience is asking us to let go and do something different. Let go and trust. Let go and have faith and do a different kind of dance. And eventually we will anyway. You know, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do Celestial Moment. And we'll continue the conversation. And, yes, I do want you to read the piece you shared with me yesterday, because I think as humanity is evolving and growing, this piece that you're going to share with us later speaks to how we could support one another. And but we'll talk more about that. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. If you have a question, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, whatever you got, we love you. Bring it. The love will dissolve anything that's unlike itself. To find out more about Jack, his website address is lessonsfromthesource.com. All information is on there, information about him, the process, questions you have, comments, I mean, videos and everything, and everything. You can, yes, don't do it. You're not Southern enough to say that earthiness. You ain't saying it right. See, that's somebody just jumped into my body. I think I'm channeling, I don't know who I'm channeling. Don't even label it. Yes, we're going to take a break, come back with Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan at round one. And if you're wondering what you're listening to.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com. And I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Request a sponsorship package, email us at info@lifeconversationsradio.com. info@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hi, I'm Mark Hussin. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life, on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet, because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Hussin, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Listen.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Indeed, yes, and it's time for Celeste Moment with Celeste, Morgan. I don't know why I do that. I can't stop myself. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I am great, and I, oh, man, you know how much I love Jack. You know, they, mm-hmm. Jack said something that...
He's listening.
Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Jack said something that really touched me, and I think it's because when I hear great teachers, great thinkers say something that's just downloaded from heaven, that's what I call it. But when he was talking about how we didn't need to understand that, you know, that there was a divinity within the uncertainty, you know, my mind went to Brother Ishmael Tete that also broke down that it's really a divine concept that we get ourselves in trouble trying to understand everything instead of trusting the process and let it be. And whenever I get a confirmation like that, because I know Jack's probably, you know, doing his thing and Brother Ishmael is in Ghana, these two aren't talking, but yet they're still downloading divine messages. And I just wanted to make sure I remembered that and shared it with the both of you. It's really powerful to hear it again in a different way. Truth is still truth. Simple, beautiful, and it hits your heart.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Simple and hits your heart. It does that. Definitely.
It does. That's what Jack does anytime he's here. So I just want to say thank you for that. And I want to hear more of this conversation. So I am going to step into my celestial moment, which is in alignment with what you guys are talking about, playing with secrets.
Let's do it.
We're going to do it. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and I trust that you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 9. 9 is the end of a cycle. It also expresses in tarot as the hermit. The hermit is the way shower. It's astrologically connected to the sign of Virgo. And Virgo whispers, we are whole and complete all unto ourselves. 9 also shows up as the butterfly in medicine cards. Its gift is the gift of transformation. The 9th letter of the alphabet is I. And words like intense, incognito, and intention connect us to the divine energy of number 9. Now today for a special treat, we're going to put the spotlight on the links of the medicine cards. Each number is not 9, it's actually 18, but when you add 1 plus 8, you get 9. So here we go. Links, you know the secret so very well, the dream time and the magic that you'll never tell. May I learn to hold my tongue, observe like the Sphinx, powerful yet silent, the medicine of the Lynx. Lynx medicine is an amazing tool for drawing information you need to you. Messages on your path are not always going to flash on a billboard. We are so hungry for information that we might even search outside ourselves for some type of direction, which only serves to keep us out of balance and ungrounded. If Lynx is at your door, listen. Brother or sister Lynx can teach you of your personal power and of the things you have forgotten about yourself. Lynx can lead you to lost treasures. It reminds to use your ears more than your mouth so you can restore order. It also teaches to trust the unfolding of your life with patience. Make the quiet your friend. The truth is, there are no real secrets. Just things our level of consciousness can't truly see. Night vision calls for more than looking. The Lynx is an excellent listener. With hunter eyes, he is not tricked into focusing on the illusion of separation. No, even in the dark, the Lynx finds the gift of oneness. All is well, and that's the story of nine, towed through the links of the medicine cards. I'll see you on Wednesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Lest. I am listening. We are listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Talk to you later.
Yes, you will.
Bye.
Bye.
We got some questions, too, and I got questions for Jack and how to move through things and dance with uncertainty. Dancing with uncertainty is the title. It's the theme for our conversation. And Jack and I are just having a conversation. You guys happen to be listening. So what you get out of it or don't get out of it is all about your consciousness. Stop it, Eddie. No, I won't. I'm just going to fight with myself. Stop it. No, I won't. I could do what I want to do. Not while you're doing the show. See, that's what it's like in my head sometimes. Jack, can you imagine spending some time in my mind and trying to take a dictation for that?
That would be a wonderful adventure, my friend.
Yes, indeed it will be. You know, you said something earlier on in the show before we go to the questions. You said that, I think it was around when you were talking about sharing the work with your family members, that, you know, I am an elder now, and something along the lines of that, so you don't really care much about what people think. And I think that's important. How did you get to a point, because I'm sure it's not just because you're an elder, there's some experiences that you had, that you went through, that now you're in a place where you can just say, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I see, this is how I see it. Because for most people, the challenge of moving forward and doing something different or being more, it's really wrapped around wondering what other people are going to think, and they paralyze themselves and don't move because they're worried about other people who really ain't thinking about them. Those other people are worrying about what they think, what other people think about what they're thinking. So how did you get to a point where you just, you know, what was the process? What was there any major catalyst that said, you know what, it's time to let that go, worrying about what other people think?
You know, that there was no grand event or sudden understanding. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's very gradual, and working with the material in the book, and you know, it was about a 2-year process just to get that book in final form, and so you know, the material would just integrate it over and over and over again. And now in recent years, as I've pulled out all this other stuff, teachings, wisdom that's mm-hmm. come through over the years and living with it, I think that I've really almost unconsciously been able to integrate a lot of that truth. And mm-hmm. I said to you yesterday, and it's still kind of stunning to me, but for, I'd say, 90-95% of my waking hours, I don't worry about anything, and I'm not afraid of anything, and I don't get angry, and I don't stress out. And those are all things I lived with for most of my life, you know. What's going to happen, what blah blah blah. This was a few years ago now. I remember walking through a forest near where I lived at that point, and I had been beating myself up for thinking that I wasn't able to live in the moment. And all of a sudden I thought, well, you know what? I almost never think about the past, and I don't worry about what's going to happen. so I must be living in the moment. It was just that kind of, that sort of understanding that, so it was very gradual, and it, you know, it was not a, you know, a dramatic moment that I could say, this is how, where lightning struck in my life. It just, but I think being exposed every day to these writings and this wisdom, and it's just sort of seeped in, I guess, over time, and and I think that it, that happens to a lot of people. I mean, the response, continuing response to, from people who've read the book, clearly, just that little bit of the material that's come through has had an amazing impact on people. There was, well, something you said just before the break, and I don't remember now what it was, but it struck me, and it's the whole, you know, the uncertainty again. One, again, a consistent theme over the years, or a topic or whatever, is the choice is presented. Well, you can, it's your decision. You know, you're going to come to the end of your journey at a point, you don't know when that's going to be, but, and there's the ultimate uncertainty, you know, what happens then? And you have to surrender to it. You don't have any choice. You know, that's, you, okay, time's up, surrender, you know, and then you'll find out about the uncertainty. Or you can surrender now. You know, you, if you can just accept that perfection and trust goodness and allow the path to unfold in front of you, then, you know, I guess you are dancing with the uncertainties, and it's a wonderful dance, but it's our choice. You know, we can choose that now and say, hey, let's dance. Or we can get to the end of the line, and then we'll be told, you know what, now it's your turn to dance.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I think, you know, it's a life, you know, after we talked yesterday, I kept thinking, but why is it? Why don't I embody all the truth that I know? And what I heard was, because what you're working to learn, what you think you haven't embodied, and what you have embodied is all part of the dance. It's all part of your growth. It's part of this one divine plan, the divine certainty, as you shared with us earlier. And I, for me, I found that when I heard that, I start to think, you know, if I become less judgmental about how I'm reacting or responding to life, if I don't say, oh my God, I'm not dancing with certainty right, uncertainty right now. If I just say, okay, I'm observing myself, respond, react to where I am, and just be compassionate, then it becomes less easier. If I trust that there is a divine plan, if I can embody that, then we can all just rest and relax. And one of the other things you said about how, you know, part of what is supporting you getting to where you are now is you just, the book, the materials that came through, are just sort of, you've embodied them. And one of the things that I believe, I really believe this, that and it's really the importance of, well, I think it's important for everyone to express their gifts. I believe the gift that we have to deliver, to share with the world, if we create a channel to express it, that gift or gifts will heal us. It would heal us, because just by being a vessel for that gift to be expressed, it becomes a healing. The same way running water will take a stone that's rough and smooth it over. So I believe just being a channel for the gifts to be expressed releases all the other denser energy that somehow we can't even say when we change, we realize it's a progression. And that's what life is about. It's a process. It's an ongoing journey, and it never ends. Even after death, it continues. And, you know, and if we can just kind of sometimes sit back and reflect on life and say, you know, in truth, I really don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's some, I don't know. For me, I feel like there's part of my life, I just don't know what's going to happen. And I've heard people say, oh, I've planned my life out and I know exactly what's going to happen. Okay, good luck with that. But I think more so, there's so much happening at once, like right now, that the truth, we really don't know what's going to happen. But if we give ourselves, if we can accept that we won't know what's going to happen, we could be less tense. We can release the pressure of trying to be perfect and get it right. And say, well, I didn't know that was going to happen, but I tried my best. Let's do this. We've got some questions, let's do some questions first. And because it's really about, part of it is some people are dealing with the uncertainties and they don't know how to approach it. So let me go here. Let me click this. It's not that. I just saw the questions. I got so many tabs open. That's what it is. Bear with me, Jack. I'll be right with you. Hey, here we go. Questions. Okay, so we have a question from Ada. A-D-A, not A-D-E. How can I support a young mother who is a relative of mine who has a passion of raising her voice to her children? I am not sure about the best way to support the child and the mother without getting the child in more trouble. Your thoughts on that, Jack?
Well, that's the kind of that puts me in a dilemma, because that's sort of assuming that I, Jack Armstrong, am going to have an answer for that, and I'm not.
Go ahead.
I'm not a counselor or anything else. I think. My only counsel would be at peace, ask for guidance. The guidance is always there. Be open to it. And if what you perceive as guidance feels gentle and wise and loving, that's probably the real deal. If what you perceive is negative or hostile or not loving, you know, I'd maybe pause and ask again. That's not a very good answer, but I'm that's not the kind of question that I feel confident advising people on.
I hear you, but I do like what you said about asking for guidance. Because that's where we all want to get to a place where we can ask for guidance how to go about something. When we talk about dancing, when it's uncertainty, for me, it's, you know, the person said Ada, I think that's how they pronounce it, or Ada, who knows, A-D-A. I'm not sure the best way to support the child and the mother without getting the child in more trouble. Well, I mean, I think it's really, for me, Jack, when you talk about talking in a gentle way, because me, if I'm feeling, certainly if the person is emailing a question, I sense that they really want to do something about it. But I think when you talk to anybody from a place of love and saying, you know, this is my experience, it may not be true for you, and let the mother know. That, you know, just imagine if the tables were turned, if someone was yelling, because clearly Ada wants to do something about it. But first of all, get the guidance. Don't go in there as you know all. Don't go in there as you know the right way. But I think really being able to create it, when we talk about community, to say, I get uncomfortable when I even hear you yelling. It makes me feel like you're attacking me or whatever the case may be. But the answer truly is, well, not the answer. The way I see it is, come from a place of love. That's the way I say it. Come from a place of love, and check in, get guidance on how to go about it. We got another question, Jack. We actually got three questions. So Yeah, so get ready. Lessons from the Source. This one is a little bit, I don't know. I love my partner, and I really want to get a pet cat, as opposed to the different kind of cat. I guess a lion is not a pet cat. Anyway, stop it, Addy. I love my partner, and I really want to get a pet cat. I've been told that it's the cat or her. At this point, I'm trying to explore options of working with animals, but I feel like we are at an impasse, and that's from Tony with an I. Any thoughts?
I'm going to throw that one back to you. I would give the same again. I don't feel comfortable answering that other than, you know, the same thing.
Right.
Be calm, ask for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that question was intended for you, Ade.
Well, yeah. It is. But I like to invite my guests to add their wisdom, their thoughts, and and I do honor your where you are and saying, I don't feel comfortable answering that. I really do. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, if we talk about dancing with uncertainty, it's creating a space for us to speak our truth. And with Tony, you know, you love your partner, you want to get a cat, your partner said, nope, it's me or the cat. That's kind of strong. But I think, you know, the idea of understanding, having a conversation, when people respond and they say, nope, it's me or the cat, I sense that there's a little bit more to the conversation. And I think there's always a way, because I know that the answer and the question are in the same room. The answers and the questions are in the same room. So if we're willing to say, what is going on here? Okay, maybe have a conversation. Maybe you can't bring a cat into the house. Maybe you just go spend some time at the rescue center. That's a good place to start. You know, and but it's really about conversation, and always, I mean, I emphasize this, and Jack, thank you for bringing that up. It's really about asking for guidance, because when we ask for guidance, what's highest and best here? What's the best way to approach this? Because we're always going to have challenges. We're always going to have things we're dealing with. We're always going to be in a place where we don't know if we should go left or go right. But there is a part of us, a unique, powerful, wise part of us that has all the answer. So ask for guidance, have a deep, heartfelt conversation, a conversation that's about understanding, trying to understand why your partner doesn't want a cat. And maybe you've always known your partner doesn't want a cat. So really, if you've always known, why try and introduce a pet cat now? But really, just have a conversation. And if you can't bring a cat into the house, maybe you can volunteer at a rescue center. And you said, I'm trying to explore options of working with animals. You go to a rescue center, you will have more than a cat. You have more than a pet cat. You have all kinds of animals to deal with. You got one more question. But we're going to come back to that question. The third one. One of the topic conversation we were having yesterday is this, as what I described earlier, about I feel like humanity's, there's a releasing of the old and there's a newness that we're ushering in. And some of us are sort of in between. We're in between the new, the old and the new. And for me, Jack, I'm finding that the energy, if you will, the time we're in, we've evolved to a place where we're being asked to come together and support each other, to support each other with our gifts, with our talents, with our finances, with our skills, everything that we have to start working in community. I think we've talked about the community enough, but this is really coming up for me. I talked to another friend yesterday. She said, this sounds like you're catching a new vision. And I'm really at a point, like, it's time that we all wake up. Or not even wake up. I think most of us are awake. But to trust the uncertainty of life and saying, okay, I have a great skill here, and I'm not working, I can't find a job. How can I be of service? You've got this platform here. What can we do? And it's not even about an exchange. Because I see we talk about people who are rich. We talk about the rich people are greedy, and some people spend more time judging the rich people and less time focusing on the gift that they have. And I think we're being called to come together in a new way, not just by the words, not just through what we say to each other on Facebook, on a radio show, but actively get engaged. I sense there's still a nervousness about that. There's a nervousness about coming together and trying to do money differently, trying to share our gifts differently, trying to create a new way. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a very big topic, obviously. I think, yeah, clearly, we're at a time, I think many of us believe that we're at a time where a lot of things are shifting, and the way we relate to each other and to life and to the world, all is changing. And you and I both yesterday were discussing the fact that in the way our own professional lives and spiritual lives are evolving, we're going to get to a point where we're going to need help, and that there undoubtedly are out there in the world people who would be able to provide the kind of help that we need. And that may well be one of the great upcoming challenges, is finding ways to connect people who have gifts that others can use, and find a way to collaborate to meet each other's aspirations.
Mm-hmm. Because for me, I've been sensing this for a long time, and sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to leave it alone. But I really do see it. I do think we're moving in that direction. We, you know, there's this whole conversation about this year equals six as it represents the universal mother, the cosmic mother, loving one another, people coming together. But somehow we're trying to come together, but it's like, one of the things I definitely believe that, listen, let me tell a story without giving too much away about the other person. Yes, here's a good way to tell it. I don't need to put anybody on blast. But there was somebody I was working with about a year ago. Well, last year. And there was money involved. But the person wasn't able to bring the money or pay for the services. And, I didn't go back and forth, but what I realized was this person, paying real attention to what I'm saying here, this person have other skills and things that they're good at that I can use, but somehow they didn't see how saying, okay, I don't have the money for the service that you're offering me right now, but I know that you do your radio show on the internet, and I have this knowledge, I have all these tools that could help you. They never saw it as an option. And I think there's some of us who don't think outside the box, and I'm not judging, my friend, but I'm using it as an example. We don't think outside of ourselves because we're still struggling with how to make money, then we get trapped. Because one solution I see is, you know, you can get a small group of people together and say, okay, I got this graphic designing talent. I'm good at doing website. I'm good at promotion. You're good at writing. You got a radio platform. You're good at bringing people together. Let's combine our talent and kind of create something and see if we can come together and just see what happens and make, you know, let's see what money we can bring in. Now, people say, well, you know, you can't take that. You can't pay your bills with that. Well, okay, maybe not. You don't know because you've never tried it. And the second part is, it is one way to get in the flow of the abundance of life. And I think too many of us are still trapped in this idea of, well, if I give up my service, what am I going to get? if we're dancing with uncertainties and there's a divine plan, there's a divine certainty. I love that. There's a divine certainty in the uncertainty. We must be willing to walk. We must be willing to walk in the direction of what we know. It's a new way to be. The other thing I want to share with you, Jack, before I throw it over to you, I think you and I were talking about community yesterday. I talked to different people yesterday, but I was talking about, you know, if something happened in our neighborhood or in the country where we couldn't go further than one block and the neighbors come together, we couldn't get to ATM, we couldn't go to grocery stores, all the things that we need, we couldn't go to work, but all we have is the one block to go to our neighbors. How would we support each other? And I think we don't always look at, I don't know, maybe I'm making a gross judgment, well, not judgment, overgeneralizing, but it seems to me, let me put it that way, it seems to me that we haven't quite learned, particularly in the Western world, how to embody community. And after we talked, I went outside. There's a bird nest next to on the neighbor's house, and I've been watching the birds sit on the eggs, and now the little chicks are out there always asking for food. Me, 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 feed me, mommy. And I've always seen the mother bird, she'll fly away and come back with some food. And I was thinking, wow, what an interesting experience. She'll feed one of them, go back and get some more food. And I think she's doing it all by herself. Do you know yesterday, whilst outside just getting some fresh air, I realized she wasn't the only one doing it. There was another bird. I don't know if that's father bird, not papa bird, or another mother bird. There was at least two of them that were feeding this chick. I said, even nature knows how to support one another. The birds know how to come together and feed the children. And we are supposedly highly intelligent, and we haven't learned how to support one another because we're saying, well, how much money am I going to make? Where's the money coming from? And I'm going to throw it over to you. I shared everything I'm feeling about that.
That's a really interesting observation and a good illustration. Two thoughts that came to me while you were talking. One is that, and you talked about if something happened and we only had a one block radius, you know, when crisis happens in this country, we tend to create community. For maybe a couple weeks after 9/11, there was a sense of community in this country that was palpable, and then it went away. After the shootings in Connecticut, there was this passionate feeling of togetherness, and then it went away. But I think we know how to do it, and it is instinctive, and we allow it to happen. I don't know where to go with that other than to say that I think that creating community is a natural and instinctive process. The other thing in your illustration about the bird, and again, this goes back to some of the stuff that has come through me over time, but there's a beautiful example of the spider. And the spider theoretically has no brain at all, no way to think. And yet, without thinking, using its own physical body creates magnificence. And in a way that we can't even understand. I mean, how did that strand get way up there 15 feet in the air and this web is down here? And yet there's no thought involved. It's allowing magnificence to be created. And I think as we move up the scale of God's creations and thinking animals up to us, the greater the ability to think and reason, if you will, the less likelihood there is to just let go and trust and allow.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, the birds just, yeah. I mean, it it was happening. Then the need was met. And there wasn't a lot of planning there or scoping out, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do now?
Or meditating or affirmations, like, how can we support these chicks? It's like, they're hungry, let's feed them. Yeah.
Right.
We got a, before I looked at the time, I was like, whoa, is that the time? We got a question for you, Jack. the question is, what surprises you, well, let me just read it. What surprises him most of these times, the time we're living in right now? And are there any new messages coming through regarding the shift that humanity is going through?
Not the answer to that second one is no. The consistent, and if you read the book and read some of the other stuff that comes through, it's like a mentor putting his arm around your shoulder and saying, yeah, you know, this life thing is really interesting and challenging, but here's my perspective on how you can deal with it. It's not messages about society, and you know, I'm sure there are people who receive that kind of message. The material that comes through me doesn't. What surprises me most? I don't know if it's surprise or not, but you know, you hear so much about a grand shift, and you want to believe that, and you see signs of it, and yet from my individual perspective, I look out and see how it feels like, is change really happening? I mean, there's so much where my human mind says, oh man, what's going on here? There's just, it's kind of out of control. And yet, again, it goes back to the conversation we've been having all along here, is if you trust perfection and you believe, and there are all kinds of indications that on a cosmic scale that, again, that we can't, our conscious minds can't understand, can't really comprehend, that there is something happening, then we need to flow with that. I guess what's surprising to me as just me is that I'm not seeing a lot of evidence of that. And that sometimes I allow myself to get discouraged about that, but then try to pull back from that discouragement.
So you're saying you sometimes don't see the evidence of the divine plan? Is that what you're saying?
Of you know, a change that the big cosmic shift in the world where goodness will prevail. And I believe there's a divine plan for each of us, but I'm thinking about that sort of big picture,
the grand,
and yet you know, there still is war and genocide and massacres and political bickering and people not being willing to work together, and I think, wow, what's that all about? And that's surprising. And that probably is not a satisfactory answer to the question, to the person who posed the question, but it's what came to me at the moment.
Well, it's good enough, because you are more than enough, and we are more than enough. And speaking of that, there was a piece that you read yesterday when you and I were talking. Do you mind sharing that again today?
I would be glad to do that. And this is a little longer than the others I read before.
Okay.
It says, "Let me speak to you again about faith. It is as simple and natural as breathing, yet seems to you so difficult to accomplish. The essence, again, is letting go. Letting your good materialize without stress or anguish, and without your feeling the need to be in control. It is not about you and or your perceived value by others. It happens when you can release the fears and feelings of inadequacy that you have allowed your ego to use to control you. Imagine a tomato plant feeling the need to produce the perfect tomato. And rather than simply understanding that calling and allowing it to develop naturally, tries to control the sun and the rain and to convince the farmer to fertilize the soil in a way the plant considers best. All of its energy and effort go into its own struggles to ensure the perfection of the object it is to produce, rather than allowing its existing systems, which were created specifically to accomplish that goal, to function as they should, without personal will, and knowing with supreme confidence that the tomato is on its way. This is very similar to your own situation. You are so anxious about your good unfolding exactly as you think it should, that you've worked yourself into a state of confusion and fear and panic. Let go of the reins. They already are in my hands. My intention, like yours, is to allow and enable the perfection of the divine plan to unfold effortlessly in your life. Let go of the need to make things happen according to the needs of your ego. Relax and experience total peace, and let me work my wonders. Perfection is your essence. Rest in it. See it as your true identity. Accept it and allow your life to unfold through it. You already are perfection, for you are my creation. You do not need to create your own perfection as you think it should be. Relax and let me carry the burden. That is how it was meant to be. You are loved. Go out into this day joyously and peacefully, for that is your nature. Expect perfection, for that is your entitlement. Abandon the fear and cast it on me, for I will gladly bear your burdens. Accept the blessings.
Oh, that's so comforting. I just like I feel like I had a universal massage. I mean, just being able to let go and just release and know that perfection already exists. Thank you, Jack, for what you do, for what you're doing, for who you are, for how you uniquely express, and I'm grateful to call you my friend. And look forward to having more conversations with you on the radio. And thank you.
I would use those exact words back to you, my friend. And thanks for all you do and for the opportunity to visit with you from time to time.
And you have a speaking engagement coming up, don't you, in Portland?
Yes, on the 8th of June, and shocking as it may seem, this book has been out for more than 4 years, and for reasons I cannot explain at all, I never have gone out and made a presentation about it. Dumb, you know, silly, unexplainable, but yeah, it's going to happen at New Renaissance Bookshop in Portland on June 8th. And then maybe that'll lead to other opportunities.
Indeed. Maybe create something, bring you to Atlanta. I'm working on doing something like that, but I need people. I've just not taken that on. I want to start bringing some of the guests, you know, some kind of, not necessarily a conference, maybe individually, but to have a conversation where people get to meet and ask questions. But we'll see what happens. we'll see what happens. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my friend. Wonderful elder. I am grateful for you.
And I'm grateful for you as well. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings. Yes, indeed, Jack Armstrong. LessonsFromTheSource.com is where you can find him. That's the title of his book. It's almost time to release the show. We've got one more question I'm going to fly through here. It's quite easy. What do I need to tell you? Oh, I'm going to be here tomorrow, so I don't have to worry. But, okay, let's do the question. So there's anything else I need to do? Don't bombard me with a lot of information. We don't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ronnie said, I've been having employee issues at work, and I feel like I lost my social capital with the head of the company. What are some ways? Oh, interesting. Time just tripped me up. So I'm going to just paraphrase what you mean. What are ways to increase my deposit and get back on track? Well, it depends if you think you did something wrong or you did something out of alignment. Correct it. Maybe you want to meet with the head of your company and say, I'm noticing there's some friction, and find out what's going on. Ask your supervisor, if you have a supervisor, somebody to go in between. Because sometimes if a bank account is closed, there's no point trying to put a deposit in there. You just have to invest in your own future, since you're using those terms, social capitals and deposit. Yeah, get back on track within yourself. Let go of the judgment. Jack just read something that's just in alignment. Recognize your perfection right now, that there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to fix. You are perfect. You are whole. Talk to your supervisor. Talk to your head of the company and see what you guys create. It's an opportunity to grow. It's almost time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'll be back here tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, and I don't know. We haven't figured out a topic yet, but we want to just talk about some heavy topics. I don't know why I'm even doing this. It's because I said yes. You don't want to always say yes to God, you know. Did I just say that? Yeah, don't take me seriously. Well, you can say no to God. You got to deal with the consequences. Because when I think about it, there's just so much going on. Just like Jack said, there's a lot. We talk about a shift, but we all can do something to bring healing to what we see or don't see. We are the answer we seek. We are the light we want to see. And I would just create a space for a conversation around relationship issues, around racism, feminism, manism. We don't have nothing like that. Why don't we have masculinism? You know, but really we want to talk about applied spirituality, and let's bypass the spiritual bypass. Let's not run from what's in front of us. The divine and the human, and divine realm and the human realm live in the same room. It's no point running to the divine and avoiding the humanity and saying, oh, you gotta face reality. Forget God. No, they all come together and they're all one. Be true to yourself, you know? It's important. And you got to love yourself to be true to yourself. And you allow others to love you. Here's a perfect song for everything we've been talking about. As you dance with uncertainties, I release, I let go. Nikki Harris from Agape. Well, she's a soloist, but she's from Agape, but she doesn't go to Agape anymore. Or she lives in Savannah. No, she lives in Athens, Georgia. We should hook up one time. Let me call her up. I don't know her like that. I love you. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, listeners. See you tomorrow. Share the show if you feel led to. And if not, don't do it. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. Dance with uncertainties and trust the process of life. AgapeLive.com. AgapeLive.com. Release, let go, let God. Wow.
I thought I had to do it all for myself. I didn't know the grace of God was sufficient, and I didn't know the love of God was at hand. But now I can say, if you are discouraged, struggling just to make it through another day, you got to let it go. Let it all go. And this is what you have to say. Say, I release it.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.